Hi, my name is Slinky. Thank you for listening to Chew My Mom. I never listen.
Welcome to the podcast, Shay Rout, the head coach at Vanderbilt. And man, what a week it has been for the Commodores. Not just the men having a couple of upsets, but the women as well. Shay, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. You know, I always love our conversation, so can't wait to chat with you.
Listen, let's not miss the top line right here. Vandy, back in the polls after 11 years, number 23 in the country. Way to go. How's that?
It's been great. I think it's just, in a way, somewhat validating for the process, the day-to-day stuff that we talk about every day and the work that we put in thus far since I've been here, almost 4 years now. And also, I think the cool part about it is just for our players continuing to instill belief in them that we're moving in the right direction as long as we pull together. We focus on the things that we can control. We keep our heads down and do the work. Obviously, you know, a weekly poll in a lot of ways doesn't mean much, but this does mean a lot for us. We'll celebrate it today. And then, we're obviously hungry for more and we'll continue to ride the wave so that we can continue to get better and win games.
Coffee's got to feel a little hotter. I mean, your steps got to be a little lighter, right? I mean, all of that has got to feel good because it's kind of validation in some ways, right? You've been so close and you've had success there and you've been to the NCAA tournament, but now you're at a different level and there's a little bit different expectation. Last year was kind of like no expectation. People picked in the bottom of the league and then you go to the NCAA tournament, you have this great turnaround. Well, you can definitely see the build, right? The constructive pieces and brick by brick, how it's come together. How do you see it?
I see it that way. I don't mind. I think this year we were picked 12th again in the polls. And, we added Texas and Oklahoma. So our conference is a bear. And I don't mind in a lot of ways being the one that people aren't sure about yet. I think it puts us in a great position to continue to surprise the outside world while knowing very well what we're accomplishing inside the program, the things that we're doing off the basketball court, in the classroom, in the community at Vanderbilt, in Nashville, on the recruiting trail. And everybody knows the landscape of college basketball is shaky, right? No one's really sure what's going to happen with the settlement. NIL is a thing now, the transfer portal. Most of it isn't, there's not much us head coaches can do except our jobs really well. And what I do love about the position I'm in here at Vanderbilt that I think allows us to do the things that you guys are seeing right now is the leadership that we have. And Dr. Candace Story Lee, our AD, who was a basketball player at Vanderbilt, a women's basketball player here at Vanderbilt, has 3 degrees from here. And then our chancellor, Daniel Deermeyer, who is really invested in the athletic department in general and in elevating, athletics to match the academic reputation of Vanderbilt across the world. So what does that mean for us? Well, we have this brand new facility that we just moved into, the biggest one in the country. The resources, the personal commitment from the leadership and, professors, the academic side of the university into elevating our student athletes so they can be successful, which allows us to put a great product out on the floor because they feel supported and they are supported here. And that is everything. So yes, it's validating in terms of the work we're doing day to day on the basketball court, but none of it is possible without that in the landscape that we are in right now.
You hit a couple of buzzwords for me, product. Mm-hmm. I care about the product. It has to be good, right? Mm-hmm. All the other pieces come together when the product's good. Because the product's good, it allows you to have these other things, the facility and the interest and the attention. And you mentioned the landscape, all the things that head coaches are dealing with right now. I mean, I don't know any head coach that's honestly happy. It's really hard to do what you're doing. But you definitely know what it looks like and feels like, Shay. 7 times as either a player or a coach, you've won a championship, so a national championship. So you know what that looks like. And in spite of all the landscape and everything that you're talking about, where do you see your direction? Like, I know you're going to say you're heading up, but you know, I always think too, that too much success too early isn't always a good thing. You haven't had that. You've had to work. Like,
yeah, we haven't had that.
And people tell me that kids want to go to high academic schools, especially on the women's side, that matters to them.
It does.
Even with all the bouncing around and the portal and everything else.
It does. Where I see us right now, you know me well enough, Debbie, like I'm competitive. I'm a competitor. And if we're honest, like let's say it honestly, I spent half my life at the Disney World of college basketball, right? I mean, people go there and it's like you have the best time and you win championships and you coach the best players and you work for maybe the best coach ever in the history of the game. And in a long time, yeah, I played and coached there for almost 20 years. So I didn't come here to lose. I didn't come here to be the middle of the pack. I didn't come here because I had my foot halfway out the door at UConn. I came here because I felt like this was a place that we could create something really special and be in the conversation for championships, live among the elite. That's why I came here. Because of all the things that I thought were going on here that were out of my control, but also the opportunity to compete in the SEC at a private institution in the city of Nashville, high academics, with a leader like Candace Storley, all of that stuff mattered in the decision because the goal was always to win championships. So while we're headed up, you know, to me, that was the expectation. And if I'm, and again, if I'm honest, you know, I would have liked for it to be sooner, but there is work that goes into it. There is a process and I'm not going to skip any steps to that process. It's not worth it. You got to, every step is important. So we're on the right trajectory. But now we just have to stay focused on making sure that we continue to not skip steps and that we focus on the work that got us here.
You know, you say Disney, and there are a lot of people that will look at you and go, what a absolutely catered silver spoon life Shay Ralph has had. And I know differently because I know Fayetteville, North Carolina, Terry Sanford High School. I remember all the ACL, the knee injuries. I even remember you taking yourself from UConn to go to Pittsburgh and be an assistant. And that's where I really heard your voice. And I watched you in film and I watched you on the court. So you have had some interesting challenges or obstacles, some would call opportunities, to continue to grow. How do you take all of those experiences, all the things that you talked about, from Disney to, you know, being in tough situations? I don't want to compare it like to some other program. I just want to say, you know, it's not been easy, but it is a full circle kind of opportunity for you. You have come all the way around. And when you look at your path and you say you don't want to take any shortcuts, I totally see that. I totally see that about you. That's why I'm not surprised to see where you are.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you. And I mean, it's a good question. And when you sit down and take time to reflect on, you know, all of our lives, I think, you know, we probably all equally have our fair share of adversity and our fair share of success, and whatever, and however you look at that, and whatever frame or arena you put that in your life. Mm-hmm. And I liken it to the game of basketball, because during a game, you have both as well. And usually it's how you respond to both of those that not only makes you who you are as a player, but contributes to the results you have as a team. Right. And I always tell my players, and they probably roll their eyes at me all the time, because everything that we do, I tell them, is going to benefit them in their life. The lessons that we're teaching them, the adversity that they face, the way they respond. So I wouldn't change anything about my path because it made me who I am. But one of the things that I will come back to is that most of the time in my life, I just bet on myself because I knew I would do the work and that I knew I had the passion. I knew what direction I wanted to go in. And the choice to me was easy to go there. It wasn't a hard choice. The more difficult thing after you make the choice of who you want to be is doing the work day to day. The more difficult thing now is sticking to that process, whether or not you have the results you want, knowing that this is what I'm trying to achieve. And even if I don't get there, who I become in that process is going to be somebody pretty special.
I always say you got to make yourself talk louder than your self-doubt. And that's exactly what you're saying, you know, because you have been able to overcome no matter what, how high or how steep the challenge might be. So I want to ask you about Mason, your daughter, Tom, your husband. He's on your staff. Probably Mason's on your staff too, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm sure she's watching film, making sure everybody's being taken care of, and doing all the things that little girls do around big girls, and that is watch them.
Mm-hmm, she does. She is our rebounder. She's a team rebounder. She loves to draw plays up for me. She tells me all the time when we're watching film, like, why is everybody so close together? I'm like, I know. They need to be better spacing, right? She drew up a play called Go Apart. Go Apart. Right, go apart. We need better spacing.
Go apart. Okay, so I hope you're doing this because I carry this around with me. This is my youngest son, Patrick, who has drawn plays for me. Okay? And this is from summer recruiting when I would go. I'm not recruiting, obviously. I'm going watching. And this is probably, I think he's 9 years old. So I carry this with me. I save it. It's so funny you say that about Mason, because I think it's so important to remember. Like, when I look at that, I remember my son Patrick's a walk-on at Louisville in his fifth year, so he's having a great experience, right? But when I look at that, I think about he's drawn plays back then. So whenever she's drawing on, if it's a whiteboard, you better get it on some real paper.
We just moved into our new facility, and I had the exact same thing that you have on my desk in our old office, but I don't.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's somewhere in here. I'm disappointed because I should have it, but I do have the plays drawn up.
That's like makes my day. Like just thinking about, you know, as moms, we have so many things that we do and people don't know, they don't see, they don't understand.
Yeah.
They don't get it. They don't, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot, but you know what's cool about it? Not to interrupt you, you know, another reason that I think We talked a little bit about my path, but I think it's important to show that to young people too, in whatever profession you have. So I just happen to be a basketball coach, you know, but my young women come every day watching me model behavior, right? They're watching me. They're watching me in a leadership role. They're watching me as a wife. They're watching me as a mother. They're watching me, you know, as a colleague, and they're learning. So I show them and I tell them all the time, I want you to model the behavior that we're talking about. I need to model the behavior that I'm asking them to show every day. And then also when they go on, and some of them will want to play pro, hopefully some of them will want to coach. Some of them will go on and be in some different kind of leadership role or discipline. But if they want to have a family and they want to be a wife and they need to be a colleague, they will have seen me be able to do all of it, and they will have confidence that they can do it. So, you know, we have that responsibility too. People did that for me. My mother did that for me. Yeah. And the SEC,
a man, you know, your mom, the All-American at North Carolina.
Yeah.
I see her name in the rafters. Every time I go, I look up there and see her. She's one of the all-time greats.
She is. And she was a full-time working mom. She coached a lot of my basketball teams. When I was growing up, we weren't like, By any means, we weren't rich, but she found a way to send me to basketball camps and play AAU and invest in my dreams. And she drove me there. She did all of those things. And I never thought about what it cost her. She never made me feel like it cost anything. You know, it was just like, this is what we do. This is what we do for each other. We're family. I'm going to model the behavior that I want you to have. And I will say that I've had some great experiences with the SEC coaches, in particular, Dawn Staley. And, you know, she's not a mother to a human, but I know she has a dog that she really loves. And
she does.
She has been maybe one of the most consistent people since I got here in terms of highs and lows that has reached out to me and encouraged me. Christy Curry being another one. Every time we go to Alabama, she leaves a little care package for my daughter, Joni.
At
Texas A&M, there is a group of women who kind of display and know what you're talking about. I think it's hard to know it if you're not in it, if you're not doing it, but we know it and we respect it in each other and we encourage each other, even at this level, which is really cool.
And I would say Kim Mulkey, recognizing, you know, Kelly Ray Finley's about to have a baby. Kim Caldwell at Tennessee just had hers. I know for me as a mom, I reach out to them too. I mean, I reach out to Kim immediately. Congratulations. You know, it's a whole new way of looking at it. It's a new ball game. You know, it's just a new game when your kid comes along. I want to ask you about the SEC. We know the quality of teams, the quality of coaching. Right now, South Carolina at the time of our taping is undefeated, but there are three teams with one loss, and there are four teams with three losses. And this is going to be a compelling race to the SEC tournament seeding and then for NCAA seeding, obviously. When you knew what you were signing up for, you knew what it was going to take. And you got to be at some moments, you got to be like, I hope that you take time to put your feet up on your desk and your new facility and kind of look around like, wow, this is amazing. Do you take that time, Shay? Because you've accomplished so much. Your resume is half of what it's going to be.
Thank you. Thank you. I probably could take more time. I will say that becoming a mom has given me a huge perspective. And so I try to create balance for whatever that means for me in my daily life. And I encourage it in our staff and team. Usually for me, it's just being where my feet are. There's always something that needs to get done. But I do think that happiness and enjoyment in what you're doing, and you know, even if it's hard in the moment or you're celebrating a moment, that's an inside job. So when I wake up every day, I'm happy. I mean, yeah. I made the choice to come here. I love a good challenge. I'm not sure I knew how much of a challenge it would be at times. But hey, like, you know, what's it? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want it to be any other way. What would it be worth if I have done all of these things and had all of these people when I was younger do these things for me and me not take a chance to continue to lay the foundation? So I take my moments where I can, but generally speaking, what I have learned, especially over the last year, is just to wake up and enjoy the day, whatever it brings, because man, what a great opportunity. How much, you know, how many people get to do what I'm doing right now in the way that I'm getting to do it with the kids that I'm getting to do it. It's just a blessing.
I mean, you say balance. I always say rhythm. My husband and I, we've been married for 32 years. There's no balance that can't possibly, I mean, it's got to be a rhythm and it's got to work seasonally. You know, it's just got to, we don't know how we've done it. We don't know how we've done it this long. Somebody's stuck with me, actually 37, if you count the 5 years before that. So yeah, like,
that's amazing. Okay. Let's take a side road for a second. What is the secret? What is the secret? Because you are also very accomplished. You have all the things. You are the MC at the Hall of Fame thing that I was at this summer. And every time I turn on my TV, I either hear your voice or see you. So what is the secret? What is the secret?
I don't know if there is any secret. Obviously, you have to have support everywhere. Like, you know, I'm sure Tom probably looks at you and doesn't understand what in the hell your hair's on fire half the time and you don't know what, you know, like that's what happens with me. You know, I say I'm up and down. Ooh, and Frank is so solid. You know, he's just solid. He's the smartest guy I've ever met. And we got three great young men because, you know, of the lives that we've chosen. Mm-hmm. I'm not here all the time. And that means that there were other things that, you know, maybe you might take for granted, you know, that you didn't realize that were important aspects in your kid's upbringing. But I know today, like, you know, my guys are pretty good, you know, they're all good. And that's the best thing you can say is that your kids are, you know, good.
Yeah.
That's probably the best thing. But look, I want to ask you about Mark Byington. Because I've known Mark for a while too, and he was waiting for that big opportunity, and he got one. And man, two court storming. When are they going to storm the court for the women?
Yeah, you know, I think it was funny that I'm not sure, but I think there may be a backstory here that's important because you know that happened with football. When we played Alabama, and then you know Mark with Tennessee, and then the next day for us, and so. Our head coach's chat was blowing up and our women's soccer coach, who is very funny. He's a friend of mine, a really funny guy. He texted like, I'm really happy for you guys, but we have to be careful. I don't know how much more winning we can afford.
That is great. What a rising tide, right? Yeah. So cool.
It was awesome. And then Mark put back in the text and he has a really good sense of humor too. And he was like, yeah, well, at least the basketball goals didn't end up in the river. So we saved a little money there.
Like the West End has never been like on fire like it is, like honestly, like fun. I shouldn't say on fire. That's not really a good play on words these days. But, you know, just so exciting. Hattie yeah. B's has probably got a line three times wrapped around the building.
Yeah.
Okay, the product.
Yeah.
You are top 10 in the country in scoring at just under 86 points a game. You have, there are 20 players right now in the country that average 20 points. You have two of them and nobody else has two. Mm-hmm. So offense, Shay, like, come on, like, let's go. This is entertaining. It is what I, you know, for decades I've been, you know, this is where the game needs to be and you're doing it at such a high level. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, part of it's just our players, right? Most of it is our players and understanding, you know, who you have. We recruited to a specific style of basketball. I don't know that I would call it a system. I just like good basketball players and I want to play up tempo. So one of the things we figured out pretty early yeah. on, you know, the way the rules are built, being up tempo, playing a quick style of play, but doing it intelligently could be a good recipe for success here and in the SEC. So we do have a bunch of different things that we do defensively that generate offense for us, right? So we're not like locked into one thing on either end of the floor. I feel like we have a good flow of like, hey, against this team, we can do these things. Against this team, we can do these things. And if we can defend at a high clip competitively, and if we're competitive on the backboard and we can get out and run, the way that we're able to play now with the players that we have, it requires me to allow them some freedom. And so I think as the year has gone on, they've been more comfortable with that. I've been more comfortable with that. So there isn't as much, you know, my husband likes to say, our associate head coach, we have to relinquish the illusion of control. Right.
Yeah.
So that is like, you know, if you think about that statement as it applies to anybody, he tells our players that you're not in control of a lot. So just do what we tell you to do,
yeah.
you know, and then he reminds me of that, you know, like you can't control everything. There's so much about a basketball game that you can't control. There's so much about your players. You can have a great plan, but they have to make the plays and they have to have the confidence to do it. So I think where we've grown this year is just, you know, simplifying so that our kids can play freely and lean into their strengths.
Well, you have a lot of strengths. And I just want to start with Camille Pierre first, because 9 points a game last year and just under 22, 12 double-doubles. She's been in double figures every game this season. Mm-hmm. Where and how did the improvement come from? Her numbers are up, her efficiencies are better. I mean, it's all good.
Camille is, I'm probably the most proud of Camille than I have been of any player, you know, that I've worked with in recent memory, just because of her growth and how rapidly she's done it and how much she's had to overcome. I'm pretty hard on Camille. You know, I talked to her a lot about, especially last year, the effort plays that she needed to make, the way that she needed to work on her game when it wasn't game day, the things that she needed to do to become, you know, somebody that we could rely on in games. And to her credit, even on the days where she hasn't felt like it, or maybe she didn't agree or didn't see the purpose behind it, because now remember, this is only her sixth year of basketball ever. So think about that for a second. And yeah. the trajectory of this kid, like her ceiling, there's still so much that she's learning. And she has taken a leap of faith with me, with our program, with herself. And she has put that work in every day. Good days, bad days, really bad days, really great days. She's somebody I see every day up in the office. She's out on the court every day. She's watching film. She's putting the work in. And now she's starting to see that pay off. And it's starting to fuel her fire and understanding of like, hey, I can really do this. I can really be this. You see her play with that belief, which is why her numbers look the way they do now.
And that's culture right there. You just defined it. People talk about it a lot, but don't show or have a definition. Yeah, we want to play fast. We want to play up tempo. We want to have an identity. We want to have a culture. You just defined it right there with one kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And then it leads to Michaela Blake's, right? Because it goes, that's how it works. I mean, you know, this is how it works at Disney, at UConn, right?
At Disney, yeah, it is. It is. And to both of their credits, and, you know, I'll keep saying that because it is true. when they committed to play here, we weren't in the top 25. We were maybe in the conversation a little bit last year, but we weren't really knocking on any doors in that way. And they want to win. They both want to be pros. They've talked about wanting to be all Americans and win national championships. And so it took visionaries. They had to be visionaries. And I told them, I'm the same way. I came here to do the same things. And together we can do things here that haven't been done before. But I think it's one thing to say that, and then another thing to do the work and take the steps forward to be able to accomplish that, which is why this right now, this moment in our program is so important, because we're stepping forward, right? And that's what both of those kids did. They were visionaries, they committed to it, and now they're doing the work, and they're a huge reason of why we're doing the things we're doing right now.
So we have this, I've called it a disruption in the marketplace, Caitlin Clark, right? I call it Clarkonomics. It's a disruption in the way business is done, right? And it's a rising tide, again, to use the same reference. Everybody wins, everybody benefits. If this becomes just a moment in our movement, then we're gonna miss it,
right?
And so, we can have a spike once in a while, but we've had a dramatic disruption, like LIV Golf with the USGA, like Tiger when he came to the USGA, like Serena and tennis. I mean, you can make references to whatever you think applies. Here's what I want to ask you, because from the beginning of my television career, which at the beginning of my career, there was only one game on, CBS. And all along, we have talked about star power, building stories, sharing the stories. Are we doing enough? Or are we just relying on something that hasn't been built enough yet to rely on? You know what I mean? Like, we have always been a grassroots effort. We need to continue to be that, but we need to continue to have investment in the game. We need to continue to share the stories. We need to continue to push the game forward. We need to have the product to be the best it can be. I think our product has always been good. What else are we doing? Because I'm listening to you and I'm hearing your story and I'm getting Vandy and I know you. I'm watching your team and I see your players and I see where you are. And now you're in the top 25 and you broke through at this one particular time. Now, sustaining it is also another challenge. Getting there is one thing. Sustaining it is another. But there's not much in basketball you haven't experienced, Shea. So if you were to put your leadership cap on, right now, at this moment, where we are in the women's game, what are we missing?
It's a good question. I think we have made, like you said, we have made a lot of progress, and not that we're missing anything. I think we just have to keep pushing. You know, I think we have to keep pushing the envelope, the ones of us that are leaders, the ones of us that can, we have to keep making sure that we put, like you said, a good product on the floor, which I think is going to happen. It is happening, mm-hmm. right? But where are the boundaries that we can push, and are we all doing our job to push there? Because I do think there needs to be more investment made. I do think that it's necessary. I think it's warranted and earned. But I don't think it's happening yet, and not at the level that it should be happening, which feels like a gap, right? It feels like we are missing moments. We're not telling enough stories. There aren't enough eyes on our games, on our product, on our teams. And with the age that we're living in, with social media and all the things, I mean, people are on their phones half the day anyway, mm-hmm. and watching TV and scrolling through things. We can do better. We need to do better. And we need to keep pushing that envelope in whatever ways each of us can do, so that, you know, maybe it won't pay off necessarily for me or my program in the next 5 or 10 years, but in 25 years, you know, like it's paid off for me in my college career now as a head coach. When I was younger, you know, my mom told me stories that would be you couldn't even imagine the things that she experienced in college. But that has to be the goal. It may not be immediate, but we can't stop because it's not. We have to keep pushing forward, understanding where we're going and laying the path that was laid for us. And whatever that looks like, for me, it is an investment. there needs to be more of an investment in our game. It has earned it. It's not even close to where it needs to be. And so as we talk to our players with NIL and the landscape and branding and, you know, looking at the WNBA and the basketball last summer was incredible. The basketball was incredible, but still the gap is this. But if we keep our foot on the gas in all the ways that we can, then hopefully it'll continue to narrow. But we have to do it with intelligence and with a plan.
And that's why we're thankful that you chose this profession and you continue as a young coach pushing forward, making your players better one day at a time, so that overall we'll keep taking those positive steps forward. That's Shay Ralph, the head coach of Vanderbilt. Shay, I'm so grateful that you took the time. Thank you. I know that this is an incredible opportunity for you to build on what you've done, and congratulations to you and your program and staff for making it into the top 25 at number 23 this week.
Thank you. I'm really honored to be on your podcast. This is amazing. Thank you for having me. I would love to do it again, hopefully to have some other great things to talk about in the future.
You are welcome anytime. We'd love to have you
on it.
Thank you. Take me up on it. Thank you, Shay Ralph. Appreciate your time. You.